I picked up a new prescription this week from the chemists, a new prescription for a tablet I'd never had before. And as ever, there was one of those leaflets in it that you're supposed to read. And I had three boxes, so I thought I'd bring one of the leaflets just to show you this morning, just a little leaflet like this. And so I thought I'd better open it to see what the one or two things it might have to say. And I just thought I'd open it and just see the one or two things it might have to say. And then I thought I'd open it. And then I thought I'd open it. And I don't know about you, but I suspect that in the room there are, apologies to the pharmacists who are here, by the way, I suspect there are three possible reactions to this sort of leaflet. One, you think, I'm just going to ignore it. I don't want to know what it's got to say. I'm just going to take the medication and see what happens. And you do that. Some of you are perhaps a little bit more serious about those sort of things. Think, well, I'll skim read it. Just go through it and see the headlines, see the bits I need to, I think might apply to me. And some of you are probably a little bit with OCD, read it absolutely avidly from top to bottom, even the bits that don't apply to you, even the bits for pregnant women, you know. You read every single word, and then you start worrying about every possible side effect you might have. And you wake up the next morning and think, is it that one, or is it that one, or whatever. A difficult document to read, and yet from the pharmacist's point of view, absolutely critical, absolutely crucial. And as I was looking at that leaflet, I thought to myself, you know, there are passages in the Bible like that, aren't there? Passages that are difficult to read, but from Jesus' point of view, absolutely vital, absolutely crucial. You can't ignore them. You can't skim read them. You have to read them very, very carefully. And why are they difficult? And why is this passage difficult that we're looking at today? Because it's a dialogue between Jesus and the Jewish leaders. It's a conversation. And we're listening in to this conversation between Jesus and the Jewish leaders. And sometimes we don't know what the issues are. Sometimes we don't know what the context is. Sometimes we don't even understand the language. It's a little bit like all the conversations that are going on about, dare I say it, Brexit at the moment. We listen and we listen and we listen and we try to understand and then we form opinions. But actually this is nothing like Brexit at all. This is the word of the living God. This is God breathed. These are the words that God wanted us to hear. This is the voice of God dealing with issues of eternal significance. And so however difficult it is to listen to, as we listen to this conversation, it's worth going over it very carefully, isn't it? Verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from, and I know where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I'm not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it's written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I'm one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Once more, Jesus said to them, I'm going away and you will look for me and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below, I am from above. You're of this world, I'm not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. Who are you? They asked. Just what I've been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you. But he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I've heard from him I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He's not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. Verse 12, I am the light of the world. It's the second of Jesus' seven statements where he begins them with the statement, I am something. And using the words I am on his lips, he's claiming that he's God. Because the title I am was the title that God used of himself in the Old Testament. But as I looked at that verse this week, something struck me that I'd never thought about before. This is fresh to me. We're not going to look at them, but if you went to the other six I am statements in the New Testament, you find they're always embedded, they're always situated in a long discourse that Jesus is talking about himself. So, I am the bread of life comes in a long discussion about bread and the manna and so on. I am the good shepherd comes in a long discussion about what it means to be a shepherd and a good shepherd and a bad shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life comes in a passage all about Jesus raising people from the dead. But here, he just says it. Stand alone, no response, no comment from those who are listening. How dismissive. Tells us a lot about them, doesn't it? How do you respond? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It's the feast of Tabernacles still that he was at in chapter 7. Don't worry if you don't know what that feast is. But on the first day of that special feast in Jerusalem, they would light four great lamps, apparently, and set them in one of the courts of the temple, the court of women, which is probably where Jesus is teaching, because this is where the money box is as well. And they'd put these four great lamps at the entrance to the temple, and they'd give light to all the courts of the temple. And then at night, you'd see this light, this bright light, these four lamps spreading their light right over the whole of Jerusalem. Just imagine it in your mind. Come to the outskirts of Jerusalem and you say, what's that bright light on that hill there? And in the temple mound, there would be these four lamps shedding light all over the Jerusalem. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. It's a fantastic claim, isn't it? And it's a claim with cosmic implications. Back at the beginning of time when the earth was in darkness, God said, let there be light, and light shone in the darkness. When the children of Israel were going through the desert, there was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to give them light in all their journeyings. The psalmist could say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Simeon in the temple when Jesus is born says, here is a light of revelation to the Gentiles. In him was life, and the life was the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness hasn't overcome it. And in the new heavens and the new earth, there's no sun, because its lamp is the Lamb. Its lamp is Jesus. A man has walked on the earth who said, I am the light of the world. As a friend of mine often says, it's not bad for a carpenter from Nazareth, is it? Yeah, carpenter from Nazareth, I am the light of the world. Well, what do you think? He's either a complete nutcase or he's true. Well, you decide. You decide. That's what he's claiming this morning. I am the light of the world. What's your response? Because it's not just got cosmic implications. It's got very personal implications as well, hasn't it? I am the light of the world. Of course, it's meaningless to us unless we're actually following. Whoever follows me will not walk in the darkness. That means you have to make a specific decision about whether you're going to be a follower of Jesus, who is the light of the world. We all follow different things, don't we? Some of us follow football teams. Some of us follow celebrities. Some of us follow political parties. Some of us follow the ups and downs of the stock market. Some of us follow people on Twitter. You made a decision about that. Here's Jesus saying, I'm the light of the world. What are you going to do about me? What about Jesus? It's deliberate walking, isn't it? It's deliberate pursuing. It's deliberate following. It's not turning up for church occasionally. It's saying, yes, this man is true and I'm going to follow him. And if you are following him, Jesus promises that you will never walk in the darkness. Oh, make no mistake, if you're not following him, if you're not walking with him, if you're not walking after him, then you are in the darkness. There are only two kingdoms in the world, only two realms of authority in the world, Jesus says. One is the kingdom of light and the other is the kingdom of darkness. When we make a decision to follow Jesus, he transfers us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Paul, when he was met Jesus on the road to Damascus, Jesus actually said to him, I'm sending you to those Gentiles in Alistri so that you might open their eyes, so that they might turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Do you see that? Two realms. The word comes to us so that our eyes might be opened, so that we might turn from darkness to the light and from the power of Satan to God. If you're walking with Jesus, you're in the light. You'll never walk in the darkness. You will have the light of life, he says. You will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. The light which gives life. The light which gives life, eternal life, new life. The light which leads through life for all of us. I don't know how long you've been on the Christian pathway. The man in Proverbs says, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. What a marvelous thing that you're traveling through life, following Jesus, and the pathway is getting brighter and brighter and brighter like the rising sun until the day dawns when he comes again and it's full of light. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So the key issue for the world and the key issue for us is, are you following Jesus the Nazarene? Are you following Jesus of Nazareth? Are you pursuing him? Well, you'd know, don't you? Surely you know whether you are or not. You get up each day and you say, Morning, Jesus, or words to that effect. Or perhaps you're not, or perhaps you're asking questions. Why would you follow him? Why should you follow him? Why would you want to? What authority does he have? We probably need a bit more information, and that's what Jesus goes on to give us in this passage. First of all, in verses 14 to 18, he talks about his self-awareness, his self-awareness. People who make wild claims are often deluded, aren't they? Isn't that right? People who make great statements about themselves that aren't true, or they're not rational. There's a dislocation, isn't there, between what they say about themselves and the way they're living. You might think of people you know who are a bit like that. You might think of a particular world leader at the moment who's a bit like that, making wild statements, but doesn't seem totally rational. A complete lack of self-awareness, a dislocation between their words and their life. Of course, the Jews think that's what's going on with Jesus here. Well, they just come at him with a legal question. You're just talking about yourself. You're blowing your own trumpet. You need two witnesses. Not at all. Not at all. I have absolute integrity. I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. I've come from heaven. I'm going back. Oh, and by the way, if you want to play the legal card, I'm not testifying on my own. I've got my father with me as well. So there's two witnesses, which is what your law says. Do you see that? Here's a man who has absolute integrity, total self-awareness, and he says, follow me. You can follow him. And then there's his relationship with the Father that comes out again and again. They actually say to him, don't they, in verse 19, where is your father? This is utterly remarkable, isn't it? Did you look at verse 19? Where is your father? Now, get how remarkable this is. These are Jews. And Jesus says to them, you don't know me or my father. This is absolutely critical for us in this pluralistic world in which we live. You cannot know God, you cannot know the Father without knowing Jesus. Look what he says, if you knew me, you would know my Father, in verse 19. The way to knowing God is to know Jesus, because he fully reveals God. That's why we did our Christmas series, where Jesus is the Word of God, where Jesus is the image of God, where Jesus is the one who's in the very nature of God, where Jesus is the glory of God. You need to look and get to know Jesus if you want to know the Father. Tim mentioned that verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. This is unique. This is remarkable. You cannot know the Father without Jesus. That's why as a church we have to go on banging on about Jesus. Not God so much, but Jesus. The world has a problem with the letters G-O-D because it can mean anything to anybody. Many years ago there was an Irish comedian who finished his programme every Saturday night with the words, may your God go with you. What a wonderful man, what a thoughtful man, wishing everybody well by their own God. Yeah. What a load of nonsense, what a load of relativistic nonsense. May your God go with you. There's only one God and Jesus has revealed him. When there's a tragedy, our politicians say, the family and all those who are suffering in our thoughts and prayers. I want to say to them, who are you praying to? Or are you just saying that? And if you're praying to him, what's he like? Is he the God who actually exists, who's been revealed in Jesus Christ? Do you see this? Utterly remarkable. His relationship with his Father, which claims to be God. Now, do you see this? This is so important. You can follow a man who has total self-awareness. You can follow a man who is God in human form on earth. We'll come back to that in a minute. Then in verse 21, there's his mission. Thank you, Rich. He says, I know where I am going. You see that in verse 21? I'm going away. You'll look for me and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. He's on a mission to love people by dying for them. And he says, if you don't follow me in my mission, if you walk in the darkness, you will die in your sin. And they will continue to look for the Messiah. That's what he says. You will look for me. I don't think he means that when he's gone, they started, you know, going all over Palestine, looking behind every hill and every tree and so on, trying to find Jesus. I think what he's saying is, you'll still look for the Messiah when I've gone because I've been here and you've missed me. And you will die in your sin. Do you see this? If you don't have the light of the world, if you're not following the light that's been given, if you're walking in darkness, then you do end up dying with your sins not dealt with. But here's a man who knows the future. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. You can follow a man who knows where he's going. That night hike that Tim was talking about. I used to hate those things. I was in the Scouts and we did a night hike once and it was just pathetic. I got so wet I wanted to be safe and know where I was going. Jesus is the one who says he knows where he's going. And look at his divine origin in verse 23. His divine origin. You're from below, I am from above. You're of this world, I'm not of this world. Here is the man who's come from outside of this world. The man from heaven. He's come from the outside onto the inside. He's not tainted by all the ways of this world. He's separate. He's like us, but different. You need someone from outside. You know, there is another realm to this world, to this universe. Another realm. You'll go tomorrow, you'll go to your desks, you'll go to school, you'll be with people, it'll all be very materialistic, touchy, solid. But there is a complete other world. I was in a coffee shop, one of the coffee shops I frequent from time to time, the other day, and she's advertising the visit of a clairvoyant. And I've talked to her about it before. And I've said I don't really approve. And she said to me, but Tim, it works. And of course, I didn't think about what to say at the time, but I thought to myself afterwards, well, of course it works. She said, I get messages from my father And there's no way the woman who is the clairvoyant could know what he could have known about what he was going to tell me. But she hears it from him and passes it on. She says, it works, so it must be true. And I'm thinking, yes, it might be true, because there is another side, and it's a dark side. We're not in just a physical world here. We're in a spiritual world as well. And Jesus has come from outside to the inside. I know where I've come from, and I know where I'm going. I'm from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. You can follow a man who can lead you through the darkness of the spiritual world to the way of light. And then there's his glorification in verse 28. Which is not just the cross. Do you see that in verse 28? Jesus said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I'm he and that I do nothing on my own, but speak what the Father has taught me. Not just the cross, but his resurrection and his ascension. When it's all happened, then you'll know. You'll know about me, you'll know about my Father, you'll know about the Word of God. You'll know about my work. The exaltation of Jesus, the lifting up of Jesus. God has made that same Jesus Lord and Christ, declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. The centurion says, truly this man was the Son of God. You can follow a man who's been glorified. A man who's come from outside on a mission. He's a divine origin. He's gone back and been glorified. But finally, the two key things that I just want to say here in verses 24 and 28. His deity. Now, just wake up at this point. Just exercise your ministry of nudging the person next to you if you need to, because this is vital. Look what he says in verse 24. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am, or I am he. And then in verse 28, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, or that I am. Jesus is using the personal name of God the Father at that point. He's using the personal declared revealed name of Jehovah, I am. Turn with me just one cross reference this morning to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. God is speaking. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Saviour. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days, I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it? And Jesus is saying in the New Testament, the very words of God, I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he. Do you hear that? So compelling. You can follow a man who's come into the world, who stepped on this earth, who is God himself. I can't make this any clearer that God has walked on this earth. I've got a daughter who's a bit crazy. Some of you know her. She's not quite so crazy now, but when she was growing up, she was quite crazy at times. And we'd go on holiday, and the tide would go out, and there'd be this sort of virgin sand that nobody had ever walked on. And she would take a big step and put her foot in it, and then she'd stop, and she'd look at me, and she'd say, do you know, Dad, out of all the people in the world, 7 billion of them, Dad, I am the only person who's put my foot in that bit of sand. And she thought it was fantastic. You know, that she's to realize how unique she was. And what I'm saying to you is what we're trying to say to you this morning is that God, this is the only planet, this is in the billions of planets and stars in space, this is the one that God has put his foot on and come and revealed himself to us so that we might know what he's like. You can follow, you young people, you can follow a man like that. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. And yet, although he was the light of the world, he did step into the darkness. 3 long hours of the blackest hell, so that you and I might never go there. And so we get up in the morning, we say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. But whoever walks in the darkness does not know where they're going. What is it for you today? However long or short your life lies ahead of you, who are you following? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness. You can follow him because of his self-awareness, his relationship with his Father, his mission, his divine origin, his glorification and his deity. There's every reason for you to say, I can give it all up for the sake of following this one man. And that's what it means to be a Christian. But he will never leave you or forsake you. You won't walk in the darkness. You will have the light of life. Let's bow our heads. Father, I said at the beginning that it was a slightly more difficult passage. Lots of to-ing and fro-ing and discussion. But by your grace, may there just be something this morning that strikes our hearts, for me, for each one of us. May we, wherever we are in life, be able to get up tomorrow morning and say, the Lord Jesus is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Jesus, help us know today. Please open our eyes so that we may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to you. Jesus, light in the darkness. Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. We bless you and we praise you.